T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Albert Breer of MMQB. Hello, Albert. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How are you?
We're doing great, man. Good to have you with us. Obviously, Albert is the only, and I don't want to make this political because I agree with what you just so you say on Twitter that people have made everything political. It drives you nuts. But Albert is, I think, the only person I've seen on Twitter that is accused of being a right-wing crazy person and a left-wing crazy person. You've been accused of both. I don't understand that.
That actually, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm kind of
that's good,
that.
Right?
I mean, look, I don't think anybody should give a crap who I voted for. I mean, I cover football for a living. Like, I don't know why it matters, you know. But it's my opinion. I have never seen people more obsessed with this crap in a non-election year before in my life.
It's horrible.
It seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse.
It is.
And everything needs to be attached to politics. And everybody needs to know who everybody voted for. And people can't – I mean, it's just – it's awful. It's terrible.
It is.
And I know that's not what these 20 minutes are going to be about. But, I mean, God, it just makes my skin crawl thinking about what – the way that all this has happened the last few years.
No doubt. Agreed with you, Albert. You know, on the John Gruden thing, which, of course, is another thing that's been turned, you know, that gets turned political, the reaction to Gruden. To me, tell me what you think. Like, I don't really buy, like, when the NFL makes decisions like this, I guess, I don't, maybe I'm too cynical, but I don't buy that the league, I shouldn't say everybody, but I don't buy that the majority of the owners really care necessarily about what he said. They're just protecting the brand and protecting the dollars. I think in all these moves, whether it's Kaepernick or John Gruden or whatever, I think that's the bottom line. Is that unfair? Is that too cynical?
No, I mean, I think, you know, clearly I think this stuff got out, you know, because someone was worried that it might get out some other way. And if it gets out some other way, and people know that the league had this information prior to it getting out, then it makes everybody look bad. And so, you know, I agree with what Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk wrote earlier in the week, that it feels to me like the league was pressuring the Raiders to do something about it by leaking it on Friday night, and then again early this week to try to push them to fire the guy. And I'm sure they were holding on to more. And, you know, obviously the move happens Monday night, it's done. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the unintentional consequence for them and you know, everybody who was involved in the investigation into Washington is that's where the spotlight's shining now, is that, like, you had this eight-figure investigation. You brought in Beth Wilkinson to look into all this. It took a year to go through it. You fined Washington $10 million. And, like, yet none of the findings of the investigation they spent all this money on is transparent. All we're seeing, really, at this point is Dan Snyder paying a fine that's nothing to him. He's still at every game, is my understanding. He's still in the suite at every single game.
Yeah.
And so, like, to this point, it feels like the person who's paid the harshest consequence for the investigation is a guy who's never worked for the team before. And that's not excusing anything with Gruden. Like, the Raiders couldn't go forward with Gruden. There's no question about that. But I think the unintended consequence of this is it gets all of us thinking again. I can't believe the league buried the Washington report in full, you know, and they were able to keep the whole thing quiet. And, you know, if you want to look at it, I mean, look over the years, right? There was a 200-some-odd page report published on Tom Brady. There was a 100-some page report published on Richie Incognito. There was a 90-some-odd page report published on Ray Rice. No, sorry about that. What was that? There was apologize for that. I don't think that's your guys' music. There was no report on Jerry Richardson. There was no report on Jerry Jones. There was no report on Robert Kraft. Yeah. And there's no report here on Dan Snyder. I think it's pretty clear, if you're paying attention here, who is getting to sidestep the public scrutiny and who isn't.
Albert, what do you think about how the Buccaneers are handling this, taking John Gruden out of the Ring of Honor?
Yeah, it's funny, Dustin. It's like, I don't know what good that does, to be honest with you. Like, the guy's paying a pretty heavy price. I always look at, like, you know, Ring of Honor, Halls of Fame, like, I'm of the opinion that, like, when it comes to trophies and it comes to Halls of Fame and it comes to Rings of Honor, I mean, those are to tell people the history of the franchise, you know, or the history of the sport. And, like, I don't know that it really is all that productive just trying to erase history.
Right.
You know? And I actually think, like, when you leave those pieces of history that might have some ugly parts in it, I think then, you know, you can kind of teach lessons and people can learn lessons through it, you know? And, you know, so I don't know. I think the whole business of, like, taking down banners and erasing records and taking guys out of Halls of Fame and taking guys out of the Rings of Honor, I personally don't think that's particularly productive. I also think, like, the unintentional consequence for the Buccaneers is you're trying to take a moral high ground here, and yet you have Antonio Brown on your roster. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's something that doesn't quite square there either, if you really think about it.
Criticism late in games for Baker. Is it fair? Is it not fair? The defenders of Baker here in Cleveland seem to think he gets picked on more than the other young quarterbacks. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think, you know, I know I've said this to you guys before, but I think the dynamic in the NFL is changing a little bit. So the questions we're asking about these guys is different. And, you know, certainly, if this were like 6 or 7 years ago, you'd be really happy with where Baker is. The problem now is that, like, there's this feeling across, and this isn't just from people on the outside, it's even from people on the inside the NFL too. Like, is good at quarterback going to be good enough anymore? And you used to be able to win with just good quarterbacks. You know, you used to be able to win with Eli Manning or Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson as a second-year player, Ben Roethlisberger before he hit his prime. Like, I think, you know, you look at this and it's like, okay, like, do you need, like, a superhero, a quarterback now to win? And so I think, you know, it's the same question. It's interesting. I think the same question that's being asked of Baker in Cleveland is being asked in Miami with Tua Tagovailoa. Even with, you know, Derek Carr with the Raiders, you know, in New England, I live up here, and people are already asking the question on Mac Jones. It's not right. Whether the guy's a good player. Is it going to be enough over the next decade when you look in your conference and you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson? And I think that's the question that people are asking. And so, yeah, I think the frustrating thing about the discussion is sometimes when you ask that question, people think you're automatically implying that the quarterback you're talking about isn't a good player. And I don't think that's what the discussion's about. The discussion to me, when it comes to, like, whether or not you're going to extend Baker Mayfield, which is the real root of the thing here, right, is do you feel comfortable going forward with Baker Mayfield as your quarterback for the next 10 years, given what some of these other teams are going to be rolling out there?
Albert, what do we do with the whole Odell Beckham Jr. saga? We talked earlier in the show about some people think that maybe they should trade him right now. I don't know that you get much for him on the open market.
Get nothing. What's the point?
Probably get nothing for him. Yeah. But he's not providing much value on the field. What do you make of this whole situation? And should we give it more time? Because we have to remember Odell is coming off of a pretty significant knee injury.
Yeah, he's coming off of an ACL injury. And I think at this point, Dustin, like you – it feels to me like if you trade him, you'd be just doing it to move him off the roster, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't imagine you'd be getting the sort of value back from him. Because remember, like if you're another team, you're not just taking on the player, you're also taking on the contract. And he costs a lot of money. there aren't very many teams that could afford to put him on their roster right now. They'd have to move stuff around, and so now you're talking about mortgaging contracts, and do you want to do all of that for Odell Beckham? Well, if you want to do all that for Odell Beckham, you probably don't want to give up a premium draft pick on top of it, right?
Right.
So, like, I don't know that it makes much sense to move him unless you really feel like we just need him off the team. And I don't – it doesn't feel to me like he's been, like, a problem, you know. Now, is he part of the solution? We'll see. But I don't know that he's been a part of – he's been a problem right now where you would feel so compelled just to get him the hell out of town. You know, so I can understand the trade discussion. I understand why people would look at it and say maybe another team would be good for him and give him a fresh start and everything else. But given that I still think that there's upside there with Odell and that maybe it clicks for him coming back from that injury, you know, when you get 10, 12, 14 weeks deep in the season, I still think the upside here is it worth at least hanging on to him for the rest of the year. And if it doesn't work out, maybe you talk about moving him after the year.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, there's been a lot of talk, both locally, nationally, about going for it on fourth downs. Kevin Stefanski's done it a bit, a lot. Brandon Staley's done it a lot, did one deep in his own territory. I think a lot of old school fans think it's stupid and don't get it. I love it. And I think, you know, more and more as we see coaches like Stefanski and Staley who believe in analytics are all in on it, we're going to see more and more of that, especially as the kickers are struggling and making a field goal, extra points at the lowest rate they've ever been. Is this trend going to continue or eventually turn around?
No, I mean, I think it's fun to watch. You know, and we're going to get, I think more data over time on what works and what doesn't. And I talked to Brandon, you know, right after the game about this, and he's always sort of thought this way. So, like, you know, what he says is it's not a risk. It's like a value proposition for him, right? Like, and so going into each of these, like, it's like, what's the best decision for my team in this spot, and how can I add value to what we're trying to do? You know, so he went through that, which is an analytical discussion. But then the other thing he said is, I have Justin Herbert. You know what I mean? Like, so I know, like, a certain number of things that Justin Herbert can do where we've got a good chance to get 2 yards, right? So he can, you know, check to a run play. He can scramble. He can create on his feet, or he can run a conventional passing play. And so, like, I think, you know, sometimes we get lost in the analytical discussion here. And when you look at it, like some of these teams that are really aggressive on fourth down, they're doing it because the players they have, you know? I mean, the Chiefs have been aggressive on fourth down. Why do you think that is? Because they have Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback, you know? And so the one thing that I just kind of like kills me about the analytics discussion is like, you know, you talk about all these different numbers and everything else. Well, like, let's look at the players. Let's look at who's taking the snap. Let's look at who he's throwing to. Let's look at who's blocking for him. Because I think as much as anything else, the fourth down discussion, the two-point discussion, I think you have to tie it to that more so than just like what past history might predict about what's happening overall in the NFL. As much as anything else, I think your decision-making in those situations, like, I think it can be backed by analytics, but I think having the stomach to do it has to depend on the 11 guys who are in your huddle.
Albert, the Browns this Sunday take on the Arizona Cardinals, the only undefeated team in football, fresh off this loss to the Chargers. I mean, this will be a tough game this weekend. How good are the Chargers, and are you worried at all about Kyler Murray's injured shoulder?
Yeah, I'm excited for this one because I think it's a gut check for the Browns, and I think it's another kind of chance for the Cardinals to check another box as far as where they're at. I'm not overly worried about, you know, Kyler Murray's shoulder. These things happen until we see that it's something more. We haven't seen it affect his game. And so when it starts affecting his game, that's when I think I'd be a little bit more worried about it. You know, but I would say for the Cardinals, you know, you look at like sort of what they did in the offseason. And one of the things I've talked to Cliff about this a couple times is how they've added to the maturity of the team and how it was important to them that they needed to grow up and they needed to learn how to perform in critical situations. And what Cliff thought was, I had a playoff team last year and we screwed it up by not performing well when it mattered most. And so what he did was he went and said, okay, like, I want to go and bring some guys who have some experience winning into the locker room. So they went and they signed J.J. Watt. They signed A.J. Green. They traded for Rodney Hudson. They brought maturity into their locker room. And guys they know perform in big spots. And they gambled that that would rub off on some of the younger players. And now it has. And so I think there's a really interesting mix there. Kyler is so hard to defend. And such – I mean, like, he might be my favorite guy to watch in the league right now. Just such an electric player, a natural passer, on top of, like, the obvious athleticism there. He's going to be tough for the Browns to deal with. The Cardinals in general are tough for everybody to deal with right now. They've got size on defense. They're tough to run on, and they're difficult to deal with offensively. They do so many different unique things. It's a really good story, Dustin, and I think it's going to be fun to see how the Browns respond now coming off of what like was just a heartbreaking loss, and then what the Cardinals look like going on the road, having to play in a hostile environment, and maybe for the first time really having a target on their back.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, are you we know the Cowboys' offense is really good. We know, you know, Dak's playing great, and their skill position guys are fantastic, even though Amari Cooper's banged up, and what's his name is out. I'm drawing a blank on their third receiver who's out.
Oh, Gallup.
Yeah. But what about their defense? I mean, their defense was the worst in football last year. They've played really well. Is it, you know, I know they've changed some of the personnel, but is it all about the coaching, and are you buying their defense?
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like the one thing that Mike McCarthy did in bringing Dan Quinn in was he basically acknowledged, like, the way that they were doing it before I got here wasn't broken, so maybe I should go back to that. And that, like, what Rod Marinelli and Monty Kiffin before him were running was, like, a version of the Pete Carroll Seattle defense. And so what does he do? He goes and hires Dan Quinn, who all of Dan Quinn's background is in that defense, you know? So, like, I think, like, last year was a little bit of an aberration. Like, not that they were going to be great by any measure, but, you know, they went from running a really simple defense that highlights everybody's athleticism to running about the most complex defense you possibly could under Mike Nolan. And if you go and you watch them play early last year, I mean, everybody was out of place. Like, everybody looked confused, and it was just too much, you know? And so, like, I do think, like, Mike McCarthy's done a good job of acknowledging the way that they did things here before was good. And so I'm going to go find the best guy I can to run the defense they were running here before. And the great news about it for the Cowboys is they spent years and years and years drafting guys into that scheme. And now they even have new guys, and like guys like Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs, who fit that scheme to a T. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of scheme, a couple young guys stepping up, you know, and like a couple of the older guys like being comfortable and going to the defense they were drafted there to run. So it'll be interesting seeing some of the challenges the Patriots bring this week because the Patriots traditionally have done really well against that Seattle defense. I think they've at least gotten themselves back up to the point where they're an average defense in the NFL, which is a hell of a lot better than where they were last year. And if the offense is as good as it's got the potential to be, I think it's plenty good enough.
Albert, I have an interesting question for you that comes from Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network. He said, someone asked me this question, so I'll pass it along here. How many teams would trade their first-round pick for Justin Tucker?
Wow. That's the right question. When did DJ ask that question?
At 5:22 today.
Okay, was this on Twitter? That's fascinating because he's so reliable.
Yep, and wins you games.
He wins you games. Like, he literally wins you. Like, he won you that Detroit game, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That was him that won that game for them. And, like, then you look at, like, the amount of guy teams that have, like, unreliable kickers. Like, Nick Folk was very reliable for the Patriots, and he missed a couple extra points on Sunday against Houston. I think the first five extra points, him and Fairburn in that game, missed the first five extra points. Mason Crosby is – as experienced as he is, he misses three in a row, you know? So I think, Dustin, the answer to that question would be, like, kind of come down to how many teams are there that check two boxes? Number one, you're kind of a dumpster fire with your kicker. And number two, you're a contender.
Right.
Because if you aren't a contender, you probably wouldn't go to the trouble of doing that. And if you have, like, a good but not great kicker, you probably wouldn't do it.
No. Yeah.
But how many teams are, like, just terrible with their kicker and are also in a position to contend? I think those would be the teams.
Couple
so maybe
teams.
It's, like, what, like a handful?
Yeah, two or three probably, I would think.
Yeah. Where, you know, you
and, here,
like,
and here's the here's right, the greater question. Start. Here's the greater question. Would the Ravens even take a first-round pick for him?
No, they wouldn't.
No, yeah. No. John Harbaugh. John and Justin Tucker's like viewed in that locker room. Like I sort of like it, like it's sort of like Adam Vinatieri was with the Patriots and Colts, where there are certain kickers that are seen as football players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And Justin Tucker is viewed in that locker room.
He's not the dork.
Player,
he's not the dorky
kicker
that just plays golf every day. Like he's one of the guys.
Right, and like I think John Harbaugh. What I know about John, having known John for over a decade now, like I think John really puts value in that too. You know, as an ex-special teams coach, I think he understands like the value of having a guy you're going to rely on and having a kicker that the team like really looks at as one of the guys.
Albert, great stuff, man. We appreciate you taking the time as always. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the mishaps. I'll be better next week. I promise.
It's all good, Albert. Awesome, we appreciate it, man. Thank you,
thank
Albert
you,
Breer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.